This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, Paul. Tremendous amount in there, actually, for us to pick up on in our panel debate. So let me briefly introduce the other members of the panel. We have Tricia King, Pro Vice Master of Student Experience at Birkbeck, part of the University of London. Christine Fife, Pro Vice Chancellor with Special Responsibility for Students at the University of Leicester. Keith Zimmerman, Director of Student Administration and Services at Oxford University, and John Herman, Director of Product Development at BPP Law School. Pack drill as before. We have the roving microphones. If you'd like to indicate by raising your hand, I'll get the microphones to you. It does help us enormously as a way of videoing it as well, if you don't mind standing up and giving us your name so we can clearly see who you are. And finally, it did also help, as we've got a big panel, if you'd like to say who you'd like to address your question to, although I've said to the panel members if they want to come in on anything, just to indicate to me. Yes, lady just there.
Christina Yan Zhang, NUS. I want to ask a question to all the panel, if possible. When you're talking about better student experience, you emphasize that during the 21st century, global perspective for students is very important. So my question is, as we all know, UK students got the lowest outward mobility team in the whole EU countries. So how can we encourage them to have a more globalized experience to enhance their global competitiveness?
Okay. Christine Fife, you'd like to have a go at that. How can we encourage our students to have a bit more of a global outlook?
I think there are many things we can do, and perhaps I'll just concentrate on one of them so that other panel members can come in. The thing I'd say is the importance of internationalising the curriculum, which lots of universities are doing in terms of the focus of the subject on the subject that is being taught. For example, if you take an English degree that might perhaps be seen as one of the more challenging to internationalise, then it's perfectly possible to develop that curriculum to include other literatures in English and not just those on these islands. So that's one way in which the experience of students can be internationalised within the UK setting.
Okay, anyone like to have? Yes, John.
If I could just add to that, I think one important aspect of gaining exposure to working or studying in other countries is exchange programmes. And although British universities have a very good track record with exchange programmes, there's a lot more that can be done there to build them into degrees as an integral part.
Okay, thank you very much. Other questions, or I'll give you a moment to think of some while I... I'd like to actually go a little bit further, John, because actually just to know a little bit more about BPP, because you're a private provider, aren't you? And I just wonder, in the context of what we're talking about today, which is student experience, is there anything that a private provider can offer and sort of teach towards the rest of the system? Or, I don't want to set you up to upset everybody. But
that's a loaded question.
Yes, it is in a way. I realise that, so I retract from it slightly. But, are there things you have to be very... sympathetic, very sensitive to the market, presumably?
Well, I think there are a number of issues that are important for BPP as a private provider. We firmly believe that the most effective way of achieving or enhancing student experience is in the attitude that you have towards the students. And I think if I'd said this a few years ago, it would be very controversial, potentially less controversial now. But we very much view students as the consumers of education. And I think a lot flows from that in terms of getting their feedback, in terms of providing a high-quality service, and in terms of recognising that students can vote with their feet. And I think it's important for us to accept that there isn't a conflict between treating students as consumers and academic standards and integrity. And I think that's very important as we move into a more competitive environment. We're going to see public sector higher education institutions competing with each other. We have the UK competing with other countries. And although BPP was the first for-profit organisation to achieve degree awarding powers a few years ago, I think we're the first of many. So we're going to enter into a more competitive educational environment. And I think it's almost going to be forced upon us that we treat students as consumers and behave accordingly.
Yes, Tricia.
I wanted to comment on that because those of you who know me will know that as well as being the Pro Vice Master for Student Experience at Birkbeck, I'm also the Director of External Relations, and my background is as a professional marketer. And I think it is no surprise that marketing people are being asked to look at student experience, because students as customers and students at the heart of our organisations are the only way that we're going to be competitive locally, globally, in the future. Yeah. And I think the experience at Birkbeck is that our students, if they've had a good experience, they go out and they tell the world. We had the ELQ lobby that we were discussing earlier. At the point at which we knew ELQ was going to be a problem, we emailed all of our alumni and all of our students, and this extraordinary explosion of response. And we discovered that half of our students worked in government bodies, and they said, come and talk to my minister, come and talk to this politician, we can help you. And so I think we are creating the alumni of the future who will support us and fund us and become donors. And I think that that notion of a marketing response, a student-focused, a customer-focused response is not inappropriate in our universities.
Keith Zimmerman, I mean, we've had a lot of debate during the day about whether students should or should not be seen as consumers, and a different perspective. What's your view about it?
I think one could get into an unhelpful semantic argument. I think that it will depend on the nature, the point in time that a student is in their career as a student, the particular kind of interaction they're having. I think it's an unhelpful answer from the panel. I appreciate it. I agree with both points of view. I think Wes Reading's point that students must be actively engaged in constructing their own learning is entirely right, and is certainly a core part of the experience at my own institution. But in my day-to-day experience with students, whether it's in the career service or the counseling service or other student services, I certainly feel that and they approach those services as consumers and are increasingly demanding.
Okay, thank you very much. A question, I think, over here. Yeah, do you mind just standing up?
Hello, Kit Friend with the University of Arts London again. I just wondered, in the face of the National Union of Students' elected representatives not being let on the review panel, Phil Willis's recommendation to select committee not being listened to, how much can we look forward to really influencing the student experience positively before government changes? Is it a reality that we could ever look to have some influence on? And it appears that the MPs are pursuing agenda totally independent from the advice that they're being given by people in the know.
Paul Ramsden, can students influence any of this agenda, or is it all sort of parceled up and sorted out?
Well, I think students are influencing the agenda very strongly through the kinds of things we've heard from the President and others from NUS. Universities and governments and other bodies are actively listening to the student voice. And I think that's a continuing process. I don't think it's something that starts now and finishes at the election or at the end of the fees review. I think it's something that's getting up a real head of steam. My sense is that is continuing and is tremendously important to universities. They don't regard it as unimportant. Mm-hmm.
John Herman.
One other point in relation to the question. I think another thing that students can do to bring about change to the student experience is to vote with their feet. Now, I accept that there are some problems with that at the moment, in the sense that there isn't enough information being developed and put out about the experience in individual universities. But, for example, BPP started our first undergraduate law degree this September. Recruitment for that programme exceeded expectations by just over 300%. And many of those students are UK students rather than overseas students, who made a choice to join us rather than go to another institution. And so I think in the years to come, we will see students influencing decision makers by deciding where they study.
I think Keith wanted to come in. Then I'd like to get some other views on this, whether actually, because you raised that interesting question, whether we're going to get more private providers coming in, and obviously the relationship of that with student experience. But I suppose there is a concern, I imagine, amongst other universities that it's easier for you to come in like BPP to be in a sort of narrow area of business and law. What's going to happen to other areas? But Keith, did you want to say something about that first?
I think that there is a tremendous opportunity for the sector at the moment that for HEIs and students to work together to define the ways in which the student experience will be. How did the Conservative Shadow Minister put it? Quantifying and measuring the quality of the student experience. The whole question of information and guidance in the framework is very ill-defined. And I think that I think that the sector has an opportunity to tell government the ways in which we think it is right and reasonable to quantify and measure that. And I would certainly be interested in how students and institutions can work together to do that.
Mm-hmm. Christine, do you perceive a challenge in the future from private universities like BPP? Do you see them taking, if you're not careful, the more profitable, more popular sectors of your market, leaving you with the rest?
I think it's hard to say. I think there may be a role, as you mentioned, in particular niche professional areas. I can't see much evidence at the moment that there would be a huge increase in that area.
Okay. Looking for another question. Yes, a gentleman over there, and then we'll try and bring to gentleman in the middle there. Thank you.
Dominic Docherty, Queen's University of Belfast Students Union. I suppose my question's predominantly aimed at Tricia. I'm just really wondering if you have any particular pointers for improving the student experience for part-time students, given that they have other responsibilities, their time is precious, and often their visits to campus are very fleeting and solely for academic purposes.
Okay, thank you very much. Good question. Now, how do we particularly do something about part-time students?
It is my life's work and my passion right now. I mean, our Birkbeck students, average age 35, our youngest student undergrad is 18, our oldest student is 100 years old. She rocked up in our student centre a couple of weeks ago to enrol online for the fourth year of her undergraduate geography degree. That's the final year at Birkbeck. And she said, I can't enrol online. And everyone thought, oh, poor Dirks, because she doesn't know how to use the technology. So, no, I'm perfectly fine with your technology, but it won't accept my date of birth. So he said, when's your date of birth? 1909, she said, and our system wouldn't accept that. Yeah. I think we are lucky at Birkbeck because we are a specialist part-time evening institution. So we know who we are and we know who our students are and we know what they need because we ask them. So basic stuff, like we have a student centre that opens at 10 o'clock in the morning, it closes at 10 o'clock at night, it opens on Saturdays and Sundays. So when students are on our premises in the evenings and at weekends in the library and they want to ask a question about the disability service, the student finance team, there is somebody for them to talk to. Because I suspect there are 42% of undergraduates study part-time. I suspect in other institutions when a mature student is in at 7 o'clock in the evening, everything is closed. You know, that's what the National Student Forum told me.
Yes.
So it's about understanding the needs of your students, you know, that market focus, that student focus. If you understand who they are and what they need, you can help respond to it. So very basic stuff like being open and tailoring your service. So we don't particularly, for example, though they're mature learners, we don't particularly have a childcare need because our students study in the evening. We do have issues around people's capacity to pay for childcare, but they don't want to bring their young kids into central London between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the evening. So understanding what they need and targeting your service to meet their needs and listening to them, talking to them. So we have a very good, I think, new website called My Birkbeck Services, and it's an attempt to try and capture all of the things that students need. So if you're a sophisticated consumer, you can sort it out for yourself. You can go online and change everything, you know, do everything that you need to do remotely from home, from your workplace. You don't have to be in the premises. But you sort of take it down through a sort of a level of services. So if you are a student who needs your hand-holding and you need specific support, disability, finance, whatever it is, you get to talk to specialist advisors who can talk to you and advise you on your needs. But I could talk for Britain on this subject because it does obsess me right now.
Your gentleman just there in the middle row. Yeah.
Hi, Nick Emmetsall, University of Surrey Students' Union. Apologies if I come across as a daft student left a unionist, but it's an occupational hazard. I'm going to talk about how students can affect their own student experience. And I take a point about students voting with their feet, but surely it's kind of unreasonable for students to attend a year of a course and then find that it's not the experience they're looking for, and then to wipe off a year of expenditure and go to a different institution. I really don't think many students are in a financial position to do that. If we look at students as people being inducted into an academic community, surely the whole point is that they can influence that community as they go along and make changes that those students themselves can see, rather than relying on a market to look after consumers who come along further along down the line.
Okay, thank you. Good point. John, do you want to just come back on? Because, I mean, that's a fair point about it's not so easy to vote with your feet in those circumstances. No,
and I think that's absolutely right. So critical to effective consumer behaviour is that information about the provider is out there and that isn't there at the moment. The nearest we have is the National Student Survey, which is a survey of mostly third-year, final-year students. It doesn't go into a great deal of depth. I think what we need is a lot more detailed information about the students' perceptions of the first year at university, the second year at university, and that needs to be published so that students can make an informed decision, because a decision which isn't informed is not going to help anyone.
Okay. One thing I'd like to pick up with you, Paul, because you mentioned it very strongly in your speech about how do we make teaching more highly valued. But you said you don't want to see that done by a separate track. The question is, how do you do it? Because there's no great funding incentives, there's no great career incentives for academics to focus more on their teaching. So, I mean, it's a good aspiration, but how do you do it?
Well, I think there are two main things, and this is referring to individual academics mainly, and how they can be encouraged to really put time and effort into enhancing the quality of teaching and therefore the student experience. I think the first thing is much clearer and more robust promotions criteria and standards for ensuring that we can effectively assess whether someone should be promoted as a result of their good or excellent teaching. I'm not suggesting that should be separate, as I said before, from research. They should be excellent at research in certain universities anyway, but they need to maintain and meet a certain standard, and also we need criteria to assess whether they're meeting that standard or not. The standards already exist, incidentally, through the National Professional Standards Framework, which is a sector-owned framework, so it shouldn't be too difficult to do that. That's the first thing. And the second thing, Mike, I think is a question of management will. So often people say, academics say, we get the message that the RAE, the REF is the only thing that matters from our head of department. Teaching doesn't matter at all. Don't bother about teaching. Just do that. But we also get people saying, this head, this dean has really put teaching up at the top there with research as crucially important for the student experience. And people respond to that and say, yes, I think it's important to do that. And so that kind of encouragement by management is very important too.
Okay, so a key role for management. Well, thank you very much. I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our time now. Because I think we could have carried on going for a lot longer, a lot more interesting things to pick up. But can I just give you a couple of announcements just to explain that after refreshments, the seminars, the first round will start at about 3:10, and the second round of seminars will begin at 3:55, with the conference ending for the day at 4:35. If I could just remind you about the evaluation forms in your packs as well, it'd be helpful if you could just leave those at the registration desks at the end of the day. So I'd just like to say thank you very much for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your questions. I won't be seeing you again, so I wish you a safe journey home. Can we just finish with a round of applause for all of our panel now? Thank you very much.